Well, my bad. Sorry. Forgot it was the new season.
Welcome to Keldabe Talk Radio, the online radio show funded and run by members of the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. We're a charity organization spanning the entire globe, attending charity events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll discuss your favorite topics in Star Wars, from the Sith to the Jedi, from the Empire to the Republic. We'll cover it all and everything in between. If you enjoy our show, visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com. And now, from our studios across the world, your hosts.
And welcome back to another podcast of the Mandalorian Mercs official podcast. That was redundant, but we're here again. It is April of 2011, and we are back after a long hiatus of a couple months. As you might remember, the Blog Talk Radio, they kind of started making it a paid service, and it was going to end up being like $40 an episode that we were going to have to pay for this.
Okay.
So we have switched up our technology. We have taken a break, and we've rewritten things, and we're back. You might have heard we have a new intro. Tal Greyhead was back again, giving us a little bit of his voice at every episode, which is nice. And I am Biohazard. I am your host on the show. This is Keldabe Talk Radio, as we said before. And with me today, I do have Mr. Frost Kaman, who is from our whatever clan he's from, Talon Clan.
Talon.
Yes, it's from Talon Clan.
We have Marilla Denlaw, who is from Maine with me, with Wampa Clan.
Sup.
Favoritism.
I did say him. The Canadians are third with Mr. Thaxos from our, where are you from? Winnipeg?
Yep.
Winnipeg. Well, say hi, Sean.
It's just Canada. You just call it Canada.
Yep, just all of Canada.
Well, if you just say Canada, they get all, you know, angry at you.
Exactly.
I don't know what
it's more than just Canada.
Say. Angry Canadians.
Throw those hats at you that have the earlobes on them.
And, of course, we have the wonderful Lucas McCoy with us, who actually has a special announcement this month.
I do have a special announcement. I wanted to take a few minutes and say this will unfortunately be my last show for the podcast. It's been a lot of fun. I'm pursuing some other opportunities coming up soon, and I'll actually be leaving the Mercs at the end of the year. I know a lot of people will be they'll be asking what I'm going to do with the costume, and I'm actually donating it to a good friend of mine who talked with a lot on the forums. And so Nico Fett will be taking over the mint green armor, and took me a long time to come to this decision, and I just want to let everybody know that before we get started. So it's been a lot of fun, and I really appreciate all the good times we've had and the friends I've made, but it's time to go. So
That sucks. We're gonna miss you. Just kidding.
Oh. Ooh. All right, well, that's that. Moving on, some stuff that we're going to be covering today. Let's get some of the general Mercs news out of the way today. Firestorm Squad in Virginia actually just went clan. We got the news yesterday, I think. So that's our 40th or so chapter that we've had. And they're right butted up against Talon Clan, and they'll be serving the Virginia area. And they were actually at the C5, I think, if you guys remember that.
Yeah. Congrats, Firestorm.
Oh, yeah.
How long they've been trying to work? Like, forever?
Oh, I think like a lot of places they've had members for 2 or 3 years at least.
Yeah.
They've had a problem with members who show up and then get the armor, but then never actually get approved.
That does happen.
And it does. The Mercs shirts or pre-orders are closed for now. We'll be going on, and 130 or so shirts are actually ordered in excess of that, and they'll be going on sale as soon as the pre-orders are shipped, which should be sometime in the next month or two, hopefully. We have to get them made and get all that stuff sorted out. So after that, we will be selling them on the forum. They will be, I think, somewhere in like $17.
Where can people see them?
They'll be in the store. You can actually get that from the main menu. Click store, and you can look at the apparel section. And it's a nice new design done by our quartermaster, Arden Fisk. It's a nice basic design. It's like a paint smear kind of design. It's really cool. And they're really high-quality shirts, too. It's not that caked-on kind of printing that you see from a lot of places. It's actually embedded in the fabric. Which it's like it's called digital ink printing.
Cool.
Yes,
it's really cool.
They're pretty sweet.
I remember the other day. I mean, it's been like a year since we got the last shirts out, so.
Yep.
Remember the old one with the Mando on the back?
Is there any way we can see what the emblem or maybe the picture will be on this new shirt?
It's on the forum, I think, in the for sale section. You can find the thread for it.
I have to check that out. I haven't seen it yet. And I
haven't seen it either, actually.
I like Arden's stuff.
Which is not what I'm doing right now. I am not going to go look at it this very second.
Do we have any other cool stuff coming out? Is there any more talk of like big patches and stuff?
Yeah, are we doing patches?
Yes, but I'm not allowed to say.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, yes, there is some more swag
top
coming
secret.
Out.
More swag coming. That's cool. So
yeah. And with all of that stuff, all the purchases directly benefit Mercs and help our Verdica fund and operational fund. So you're not only getting some stuff to wear, you're helping out the organization, which is always good.
That is always good.
And don't forget, you can also go on to the Mercs site and hit the donate button and send in a couple bucks. You'll get a nice little cool tag on your forum account. And
a discount. Sticker.
Yep.
Yeah. So... Definitely
so before
do that.
You order a shirt, go donate to the site, and you get a discount on the shirt.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
It works.
Yay, capitalism.
In other Star Wars news, we have guilds on the Old Republic now. I know very little about that, but I'm sure James can...
We did that with Mandalorian Brotherhood. By the way, anybody wanting to join a Mandalorian Mercs guild on the Old Republic... The council has said on several occasions that they would rather not have any sort of official tie or official guild representative of the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. So please don't name your guild with several Mercs members Mandalorian Mercs. I mean, as much as some people
I think that
like
name is
that.
Actually disallowed anyway.
Yeah. Well, there's actually several of them already from when I was looking it up the other day. And there's two Mandalorian Brotherhoods, although one of them has one character and ours has 20. You don't need to go like spam join our guild because I don't expect everyone to do that. And I don't like half you guys anyway. But anyway. So
I guess I'll just stop.
You can actually join guilds with your friends and ahead of time, and then it sends invites to your characters when you log on, supposedly. And they supply you with a sub forum of their main forums, and it's pretty cool, I guess. Mm-hmm. But we'll see.
When is the Old Republic supposed to be shipping? Does anybody know?
That is either supposed to be Q4 this year or early next year within Q2. For the record, Q4, for people who don't know what that is, that's actually tax quarterly four, which means it's business quarter four.
Which
it's not real quarter four. So it's actually like from November until like March. So it could be any time within the end of this year or the beginning of next year.
So it'll probably be like holiday time.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Probably, yeah.
If not, pre-orders will be open by then anyway. So
yeah, that's true.
Get it in your Christmas lists from Mando Claws or whatever.
Right. For those of you who are going to play it.
Right.
Yeah. Are you not going to play it, Mario?
I bet they'll not be hearing any hate over there from Wampa Squad.
Yeah, I don't. I'll probably play the beginning because I know so many people that will, but it doesn't really look that interesting to me. The class choices are kind of limited right now, and they have said they're going to add more, but for my friends and I who do not play with Force users, we have the option of being bounty hunters or Imperial agents, and that's just really lame.
Yeah, it's kind of narrow.
Yeah, bounty hunters are lame.
From what I hear, they are. See, the thing is, too, is most of us, we'd rather work for the Republic side as bounty hunters, but you don't get that option.
Yeah, they actually specifically said in an interview recently that they are not currently allowing players to switch faction based on class. However, because there is a karma system, like the light side, dark side point thing that they did in KOTOR,
right.
Because they do have that karma system in the game, they said that they are planning for a future release, either for an expansion for the game or possibly even just an unpaid expansion,
right.
That you end up being allowed to switch from one side to the other based upon your karma score.
They did that with City of Heroes recently, yeah. with the most recent expansion. To
yeah, it's called Going
sides.
Rogue.
Yeah, Going Rogue, which to me was always a good idea, and they've talked about it, I don't know how long, for World of Warcraft, to make it a rep-based faction switch, which would be an insane grind. But I feel like that's something that's totally Star Wars. Like,
yes,
you have that element in Star Wars stories. But
yes, yeah. And that is supposedly what they're thinking, is that they want to put it in there as like a big, long story arc, like an endgame expanded piece of content for people. Which is what I imagine it will end up being, is it'll be with an early release for the endgame player content. They're going to add in the ability for, after you do a really long quest chain, to make some kind of pivotal decision which switches your faction alignment. Which could be pretty cool, and then would allow for you to have, you know, evil smugglers and good bounty hunters and Sith-aligned Jedi, you know, that sort of thing.
Oh, no, that would just be stupid, though.
Well, think of it this way, because there are Sith,
Jedi.
There are Sith, and then there are Dark Jedi.
No, I know.
You know,
Dark Jedi are way more interesting.
And you see, the thing is, a Dark Jedi would be what you would get out of somebody doing that thing, or you would have a redeemed Sith. You know, it makes sense in the Star Wars canon.
Yeah.
More sense than.
Or you should just reroll a character if you're going
to... Yeah, well, they also said that rerolling characters is going to actually be a persistent part of gameplay. But, like, that not only are you able to, obviously, reroll characters, but you'll be able to get special rewards for both characters when you reroll a character at certain points in time in the storyline. So, like, you'll keep your bounty hunter, but if your bounty hunter goes and rescues an entire... thing of Jedi or something, I don't know, whatever. Sith people, and you rescue your Sith people, and then you get a bonus that's like, the next time you start the Sith person, you can have these bonus and get stuff from your bounty hunter for free, because
oh, wow.
it's one of the people your bounty hunter rescued.
There's also a brief application aspect to joining guilds.
Yes.
So.
And it should always be for the lulz.
Yeah, basic stuff like what class will you play first, what time zone will you play in, what days do you plan, what hours past MMORPG experience.
Make sure you're not trying to load it in Google Chrome, because I had a hell of a time with it. And
Oh, that whole website is pretty much awful.
Yeah, I had to load up Internet Explorer.
Yeah, I haven't had any issues with Firefox.
I did it in Firefox. Firefox works fine, so does Opera. I personally did not have any trouble in Google Chrome, but I really do not know. Google Chrome is kind of iffy. Some things just don't work. Like Hulu half the time doesn't work in Google Chrome, and I don't know why. So, like, it works the other half the time, and then half the time it's just like, and I don't work anymore. So, yes, if you're having problems with it, try using another browser. Really don't use Internet Explorer unless you really don't like your computer. Like, avoid that, like plague.
Yeah.
Like plague. So what else we got?
Well, we also got the Star Tours coming out in May and June, respectively. I think the June date is in Disneyland, and the other one is in Orlando.
There was also, I don't mean to change the subject, just to add to that, they also announced a couple more dates for Star Wars in Concert on the West Coast. So if you live out there, check that out.
Yeah, I wanted to see that so bad, but we didn't have the funds for it when it came up our way.
I actually didn't have a ride down to Atlanta at that time. I was stuck up here in Rome. And
that's kind of lame.
I know. And I apparently people called afterwards. They're like, we would have come got you, but I was just
I was out of town at all of the wrong times for it because I was up in Minnesota like 3 weeks before it happened, and it happened like the week they started showing it up there, like the week after I left, and they showed it in North Carolina at one point when I was in Florida. So, yeah,
I missed heard out on it. Was great.
Oh, it was. I wouldn't mind seeing it again if it ever stops in Winnipeg.
You need to be quiet now.
Yeah, Canadian.
You and your dirty Canadian money.
My colorful Canadian money.
What are they called?
Monopoly money.
Yeah, it's called.
It's just called loony.
The loony?
The dollar coin? Yes.
It's the loony and the toony.
It's almost like you're a real country, but
not. I was not picking on Sean.
We're not picking on Sean. We're picking on all Canadians.
Oh, well,
exactly.
That's why everyone how does that know is so nice. By that, just have to listen to this crap all the time.
By that, we mean we are picking on Thaxos, his family, the other five Canadians in the nation, and then all of the Mies that are Canadian citizens.
So the 22 potential recruits that we have for our clan and the 12 official members already don't count?
They are all moose.
Your future children.
All moose. That would be some interesting Mandalorian armor on a moose.
I mean, they could do really good Wookiees, I guess. Wouldn't even need a fursuit. They would just need surgery so they can stand up on back legs.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway.
So if they got angry, they might like bull rush the Condor, so that could be a problem. Or moose rush, I guess.
James, you wanted to talk about Merc's Facebook page and social media outlets?
Yeah, the PR team is beginning an update of the Merc's PR, or the Merc's Facebook page. There are a couple of really outdated members' photo sections, which are going to be the first main thing that the PR team is tackling. It's basically like your application photos that everyone sent in. That is your picture.
Like, my application photo is plastic trash can armor from 2007.
Yeah,
I definitely need to update mine.
I don't think I was even wearing gauntlets in mine. So
I didn't have shoes on. Really remember that?
And
I think we talked about that before. I had no boots on. I had white socks and a black flight suit.
Yes, yes. I remember at one point you actually cropped that photo up a little bit so that way it would hide the fact that you were in your socks.
Well, the goal is that the PR team is going to not yet, and there will be a post about it. So make sure you read the post. You will be basically sending in new photos that will be watermarked so that no one on the interwebs can take photos from
which
the
has
Facebook.
Happened before, by the way.
It's actually been kind of a problem in the past.
I know that you would want us to put up your photos without the watermark on them, but we have had numerous occasions where unsavory or maybe just stupid individuals have gone around ninjaing up people's pictures of their armor and then claiming it as, like, this is the armor my Mandalorian fictional character wears.
Well, no, and also we're even claiming it as what they made. To the Mercs using photos of other people's costumes.
Yes, because they assume that we, you know, don't keep track of these sorts of things.
Right. So they will be watermarked, and they will have a disclaimer at them. But we also just really want to have – I mean, honestly, we get a lot of traffic on the Merc's Facebook page. And the only thing really going on it is reposting what happens on the news feed of the site. So we're trying to step up our Facebook presence, we're going to be uploading – like Riv will be uploading the Merc's promo video onto that.
Excellent.
Nice. And we'll be redoing these pictures, try and keep better. We're going to be updating the store as the new items come out for the store and whatnot. And those pictures will be on Facebook. So it'll start looking a lot better, and that'll be good.
In addition, increasing Merc's Facebook presence is not part of making own personal Mandalorian fan page thing. That is something completely separate that people decided to start doing once they saw Andalor the Unit do his own.
Andalor the Unit did his recently. There have been many other Mercs fan pages before that.
Yes.
But
the first
Tom
one I
started doing that because his personal page that he had real life friends on had like his Mandalore name on it. So he finally split his off. And he I think a lot of people, once you've been doing costuming for a long time and you get like 2,000 costuming photos and you have like a bunch of friends from home who get kind of sick of seeing like your helmeted face all the time. Yeah, like that's like why I had mine created. I'm starting to switch over more to the other one. And
you guys are amateurs. I had a Facebook fan page for my character when I first started.
No, but you had a – yours is a real profile with a separate login.
Shh.
Hey, yes, James, whereas other people are creating Facebook pages that you can, you know, quote-unquote like and add to your personal.
Right, because you can be the reasons for that is, and there are really good reasons, is because you can network with other pages, which means the Mercs clan or the Mercs club, the clan pages, other characters, like fictional characters. You can also have an unlimited amount of fans. You can have all this other background information for a fake character rather than, you know, personal information. And so it's a lot better than having a personal profile with, like, your fake Mando name. Because, honestly, we make fun of those people who have, like, fake Mando profiles.
Yes. Truth be told, something you need to make sure that you do, however, when you do go around linking, you need to make sure that you always go ahead and make sure that the Mandalorian Mercs is somewhere mentioned in a large, early on part of your profile. So, you're, for example, you could be Lucas McCoy, and you would have the Mandalorian Mercs right underneath your top picture. You would put down this link that'd be like, from themandalorianmercs.com. You can go and get the image of the banner and put it right there. And then that way, you can make sure that they come back to us rather than just looking at your page and being like, oh, this
and the
is
thing
kind
is,
of
that's, cool. That'll be good because you can tag fan pages in other fan pages now, and you can list what most of us have been doing is listing Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club as your affiliated. You put that on when you're editing your page. It says, what's your affiliation? You say Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. And you can link that back to this other club page or this other fan page, which is really good for networking within Facebook and having all of these sites linked together. Like the Mando Mercs page, I have featured likes on all of the clan pages, the sub-clan pages. So those pages should feature like the Mercs Club page. So this really is good for if someone locally is looking up, like, let's say they get someone's name, so they're looking up Solus Kier on Facebook, and they get to his Facebook fan page, and they say, okay, this is cool. Oh, and here's the link for the clan. And they look at the clan, and they look at all the other members of the clan that also look really good in Arizona, and they say, well, this is cool. And then they see the link for Mando Merc's Facebook page. So they look at that, and then they see everyone's costumes on that page, and like all the stuff you can buy, and like different events and stuff. And you go, okay. And then there's
and
the link for.
Oh my god, I want to spend money on the website, and then right. I will support the
website. The real issue that we're having too is one thing that's been brought up to PR that we've been kind of addressing lately is that people come to the site, and unless you know how to navigate the site, it's hard to get to a lot of pictures of Mandalorians and other costumers interacting together. The news feed has some with the invasion photos, but you know, people like to look at pictures of stuff they're going to be doing when they join this club. And that's what we're trying to fix on the Facebook page is like have lots of cool stuff of people you're going to meet and places you're going to be able to go and see and things you're going to be able to do once you are a member and have a costume. Or even if you're just working on a costume, you want to join.
Mm.
Right. Going back to the update photos, is there about an estimated time when you think you might be introducing that? Just so that way people working
within the week.
Within the week, okay.
So some, if not this week, then early next week, we're just hashing out the wording of like, you know, no cell phone pictures, no, don't have crap all over your floor in your
bed but
when you take.
Is there a specific time, like deadline you want to have photos in by? Say, for example, people working on upgrades currently and are kind of in between version A and version B?
If not me, since I'm leaving, it will be someone keeping this updated.
Right.
So someone will be like let's say you submit a picture now and then 2 months from now you do a really good professional photo shoot. Obviously for just regular upgrades, if the picture quality isn't better, we're not going to do it. If it's a brand new costume, yes, you will be updated. But if you go from like, you know, you standing up against a blank wall in your house and then 2 months later your costume hasn't changed at all, but there's like a photo shoot photo of you. absolutely, it will be updated. You just need to talk to whoever's heading up the Facebook page, which will be someone else from PR.
It's yeah. I mean, I work on the Facebook page, and Tagler and Tom do too. So.
Yep.
But moving on, we have an armor topic this week that I think is probably going to be good for a lot of people. Gauntlets and arm coverings. We've had a lot of questions about these, and it is something that is kind of hard to do effectively. There's a lot of, you know, do-it-yourself kits out there. You can do it as complicated as buying full fiberglass shells and doing full Bobo gauntlets, or you can do it as simple as I did for AdCon 08 and use Juicy Juice bottles because my gauntlets that I had broke. I was given those by Kram Zarati. He had these extra pair and they were Juicy Juice bottles, but they worked out really good. So let's see, James, what do you use? How did you make your gauntlets?
I would not suggest doing mine at all. I actually have a 6mm Sheets of Sintra that I heated up and bent around in a circle around my arm and then just kind of cut in the shape to make them flush on the sides. I would never do it this way again. I tried to do the clamshell method and was terrible at it, and if I ever redo them, I'll be doing the clamshell with a top half and a bottom half. Slade and a couple of other guys who are making SWG armor currently are doing it that way, and theirs looks way better than mine. So,
so basically you are saying you're a noob.
I was a noob. I just wanted gauntlets to be done, and I did like 4 versions of them before. Honestly, they look fine now, but I would do it differently.
Another thing about gauntlets.
Armor, I just use these big cups. I got like 4 cups from Walmart and glued the ends together and then kind of cut them differently. So like his hand was stuffed through a cup and then we've mounted stuff on it. And it kind of gave that gauntlet looking shape.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's actually a good strategy. My big left-handed gauntlet, Crush Gaunt, big spiky talony thingy. It turns out the bottom of that is actually a cup from Walmart as well that I just cut in half and put some Bondo on to get the good texture on. Did a bunch of painting work on it to make it look all sexified. But I just used that with a hinge on it to put the gauntlet on and off. And that is best way, I think, to do them if you're trying to do them on the cheap. Obviously, you can do them more expensively too. The new gauntlets I'm doing for my Sado armor are actually just bracers that are going to be sort of faux leather and have Velcro on the bottom of them. And then you just pull it over and it's got the metal plates on the back of it because it's not the same sort of Boba Fett style ones with the cup on the bottom. But if you really wanted to, you can actually do them like that where you've got the soft part that holds the top to the bottom of your wrist and you can just attach it that way, it'll sit really snugly, and you put Velcro on the outside of the attachment for that, and then you can just smack a cup onto the bottom of it, and it will go underneath the metal plates.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Pinocchio, how did you do yours?
Oh, yes, all the gauntlets are using piano hinges. The piano hinges are held together by the Velcro on the inside of the gauntlet. It's very simple, clamshell.
And Sean, how about yours?
Well, the original ones I had were, what were they now? I think they were just some back form to standard Boba Fett style gauntlets. But when I switched over to the metal armor, I basically just figured out a custom template for the forearm and then just kind of fitted something to the underside and riveted it all together. So I just slide my hand right through. Although I am planning on new gauntlets when I'm able to get some more aluminum sheeting, I will be doing a piano hinge on the one side and then not quite sure how I'll close it yet, probably magnets or something like that. And then I'll have the forearm, the gauntlet itself, going up into the elbow as usual, and then I'll also have some segmented hand armor coming right off of that, so it'll be one whole piece from hand armor all the way up to elbow.
Mm-hmm. You can always do the piano hinges on both sides.
And just slide out the hinge on one,
Yeah, you have the L shape at one end. Just slide it in and out.
Yeah, I've seen a couple people use those, actually. It seems like it's a really effective way of doing it.
Yeah, I see it a lot of time on the dented helmet. A lot of the Boba Fett guys use them. Mm-hmm. And it looks great. You don't even notice it.
Yeah, basically, I mean, like, because what the piano hinges are is they have, like, it's like a door hinge. There's, like, a tube that interlocks, and there's that one long spine or rod that you put down in the middle of it, and they just bend it at one end, and usually at the wrist end, so you can pull it out away from you, and you just slide that in there, and it locks in place, and you can it keeps it on for the whole time.
Another thing to be aware of is that I was just helping somebody who was working with an Italian clan person who was trying to work with the Wizards of Flight gauntlets, and they were looking at the templates for the bottom cup thingies for them. And if you're using those, which are the most common templates that people use, you need to be aware that they are done based off of a 3D image of a Mandalorian, of like a Maya thing that the guy made. And because of that, the actual like design for the gauntlets requires you to have two layers for them. There's like you're basically building the bottom cup in 3D, and you just really shouldn't do that. You should just go ahead and make it out of a single piece of plastic and then cut whatever detail you want into it and then back it with another piece of plastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but basically for the CRLs, what you need is actually, let me go and open them up here so that we don't make a mistake. So somebody will email us. And if you want to email us, by the way, you can email us at podcast@mercs.firespray.net and let us know what you think. This is kind of a strange episode because it's our first one back from our hiatus, so we're still learning all the stuff.
And we
learning the ropes.
Bad.
It's different than doing it live because we don't have the chat and everything to converse with people listening.
That was
so
fun.
But so give us a break on this first episode. We're still a little bit weirded out by it ourselves.
Yes.
As far as the CRLs go, and I'm not opening the right one apparently.
And let me go get that up for you. Okay, straight from the CRLs. Gauntlets, some form of armor or rigid covering on the lower arms. Gauntlets, hard bracers, gloves, and quality hand wraps. Sports armor used must be highly modified to no longer look like sports armor. No shin pads, just spray painted. Not going to work.
Yeah.
Good example of that is Dark Kieran. Am I saying his name right? He has the sports armor with the shin guards on his spur. He has like two with Sintra covering. So
who?
I don't even remember. I don't remember.
Dark Ram.
Oh, yeah, the blue. That actually looks fun.
Yeah, it looks really nice, I think.
Yeah, because he's got the one shin arm on top and one on the bottom, and then he's covered the fact that there's gaps between those two pieces with some more plastic, so it looks more like an entire solid piece.
Yeah, you put some greeblies on it, it looks good.
Yeah. Because it's no longer recognizable.
Yeah, basically. So as far as the definition goes, you know, some form of armor or rigid covering on the lower arms, gauntlets, hard bracers, gloves, quality hand wraps. Pretty much, I mean, there's no limit on your imagination there whatsoever. You can do the Boba style, which is, you know, complete coverage of the forearms, or you could do something as simple as a leather hand wrap with ties on the bottom.
It should be important to note, though, that your gauntlets, as not part of the CRLs, but as far as quality goes, they should flow with the look of the rest of your costume. So if you have really light armor with not a whole lot going on, you should not have big, huge fist-covering gauntlets that look like you have the Bumblebee cannon from Toys R Us on your arm. You know, it should go.
Do not use Bumblebee cannon from Toys R Us either.
We have a guy with he's going to be updating them, and the rest of his costume looks fine. But they're like leather-looking gauntlets with some straps. But the rest of his armor is kind of black and yellow and very modern-looking. And his gauntlets look more Crusader or near Crusader. And separately they work, and together they would work with a little backstory explanation of like, oh, these were passed down from family and blah 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 blah. But you know, they are one of the things on his list for like immediate upgrade as soon as he gets to work on it. And just, you know, little things like that that will make your character look better quality wise make sure they match.
Yeah, you definitely want it to all tie in.
If you have to explain them with a backstory to get in, no one cares.
Yeah. And that goes for pretty much anything on the costume. As far as the design and overall look, you want to make it very apparent from the get-go what it is, what its purpose is, how you got it, that kind of stuff. You don't want to have to sit there and explain how your costume looks a certain way to, you know, a random person on the street. You need it to look either really solid and in uniform with the rest of your costume, or it needs to be dramatically weathered and scarred, maybe with, you know, writing and stuff on it, as if it has been an heirloom. It does not need to fit with your armor if you're going to try to have something like that. For example, you know, if, you know, your helmet, or let's say like a gauntlet, for example, since we're talking about that. If your gauntlets are passed down, your armor, you know, is blue, then you need to make them like metal with like chipped blue paint and, you know, a bunch of weathering on them. Make them look really different from the rest of your armor so it looks like something that has been passed down.
Right.
Yeah, make it look purposeful, not lack of skill.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Because, I mean, being in the hobby that we're in, any random person seeing you in a costume, if it doesn't look top-notch, they're going to immediately assume that, you know, it's just bad quality. So make sure you do it, and you do it well.
Yeah, do it with intent.
Doing it well.
That's right.
Sing that to yourself as you're making your armor.
Alternatively, don't sing anything and just have mental image in your mind of how much of a gigantic badass you are going to be once you are wearing armor, and how everybody in village will think you are probably coolest guy.
Yeah.
Man, I don't break
sit there and think about
done, man.
One day I will have a Facebook fan page.
And we'll have a million and a half Facebook fans.
Chicks dig the armor.
Chicks dig Mandalorians.
So,
that is true. More
chicks. Is truth.
So, what else do we want to add? Anything else about gauntlets?
Also, make sure that if you do your gauntlets with external weapons on them, like not Boba Fett style, where the weapon is sort of
no spring loaded
the gauntlet. Make sure that whatever it is does not look like something you just grabbed off of shelf at Home Depot. Or Lowe's, or whatever you have where you live, I don't know. Because if you have sprinkler head, for example, or, you know, fire extinguisher nozzle on gauntlet, chances are somebody at convention will point at it and go, oh, look, it's a sprinkler head or a fire extinguisher nozzle, yeah. Which will make you feel very bad.
Another thing is, if you're going to be doing Greeblies, if you're looking at the Star Wars tech, a lot of it looks more retro. So if you're grabbing stuff from a computer, you don't really want to get the small circuitry, like the complex circuit boards and such. It doesn't really look as in-universe as, say, the older style stuff.
Well, I had a guy recently who finished his new helmet. And
the rangefinder? Yeah.
Who was it? Oh, it's the guy who's Freya's boyfriend, and I forget his name off the top of my head.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, he looks like a tank. His stuff's built on, like, it looks like football pads, but it looks really good. It's not football pads. It's just this really beefy-looking Mando, and it looks great. But he has exposed parts of the helmets with under it is circuitry, but he spray-painted the circuitry. So it doesn't look super modern. It actually fits a lot better. So you can pretty much mod anything.
Well, you can do it. Just you have to be careful not to look too modern and too real world.
Right.
And something that's going to cue that in is the green color to the circuit board itself. Also the brass lines. Like, I mean, if you just spray paint it black, it still has that edgy, techie look, but it lacks the color associations that everybody's going to have from opening up the back of their cell phone to their computer. I mean, they know what circuitry looks like, modern circuitry.
They've seen Terminator.
And don't have your whole iPad on your gauntlet totally exposed to look like an iPad or an iPod.
On your gauntlet.
That would be a big gauntlet if you had an iPad on it.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing about it is man, nothing in Star Wars has a plasma touchscreen at all. So
yeah, even everything is prequels, as much as I hate to pull the prequels into this, even the prequels had buttons.
Yeah, they were all buttons. They were all holographic, and they were all, you know, big buttons with lights in them. So 70s tech, man. That's what you need to focus on.
Yeah, it's Vision of Future from 1977.
Exactly.
Pretty much. I mean, what you had back then. I mean, if you watch the original trilogy, it's all glowy squares. That's it. I mean, from, you know, when Luke presses the button to turn off his, you know, rangefinder thing in the ship, whatever it's called, X-Wing.
Targeting computer.
Targeting
computer. You're supposed to be Star Wars fan. What is wrong with you?
It's just a glowy square. It's not, you know...
It's not even labeled.
Yeah. It isn't.
I always thought that was kind of weird. They cut out about three minutes of scene there where Luke was just space rolling all over all the keys on this cockpit to try and figure out what was going on.
And considering he had never flown the plane before to know exactly what button it was, man, that was some good training he had.
He used to bullseye Womprats in his T-16 back home, sir.
Yeah, which is by INCOM, so naturally they have exactly the same flight control systems. You know, because Lockheed Martin airplanes between the F-22 and the F-4 are totally the same.
I love how that was like an educated joke that was funny. I appreciated it, Frost. Because Lockheed is, you know, in my hometown.
There you go. Lockheed is from Kennesaw?
Yeah, it's in Marietta.
That's really strange.
I'm missing a joke.
I think every person I interview from the age of 50 and up has worked at Lockheed or is in the relative of someone who works at Lockheed. We build airplanes.
You know who else works on airplanes?
When I leave Merck, says I'm going to go work at Lockheed.
Brian draws airplanes every now and then. He's not very good at it, but he does it.
Yeah, Brian, you really can't draw all that well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Brian, what...
Someday I'll tell you what I got paid for that drawing.
do you just scribble with crayon on napkin or what?
Did you do stick figures for that one?
Yes, I did.
Yes, all the airplanes were actually just M's in the background of the sky. The letter M, these were a happy M.
I actually got a commission from Brian one time, and I asked for my money back.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Me too. Terrible quality.
Anyways, we actually have a special topic to round out the show today with. Murillo's going to go into a little bit of detail on how to build those special macro binoculars that he has on his helmet. We've been getting so many requests for that, so go ahead and take it, Murillo.
I'm glad you asked. The first thing I did was...
And actually, that's all the time that we have for today. We'll pick it up next time, and we'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
This has been a production of the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. If you'd like to learn more about the topics discussed on today's show, please visit www.mandalorianmercs.com. The Mandalorian Mercs is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. Star Wars, its characters, costumes, and all associated items are intellectual property of Lucasfilm. Copyright 2009 Lucasfilm Limited. We hope you enjoyed our show, and we'd love to hear your feedback. Please email podcast@mercs.firespray.net. Until next time, happy hunting.
So you really leaving, James?
April Fool's!